Hello and welcome to episode 27 of Nintendo Podcast System. With me, Jack Gorn, and we have today Matthew Gibson.
Hello.
And Sam Spade.
Hello.
But we also have the wonderful Colin Crompton from Nintendo Voice.
Hello, hello. Thank you,
hello. Welcome to Nintendo Podcast System. Welcome.
It's an honour to be here. It's awesome.
Yeah, welcome. Just in case, if our listeners don't know you, what do you do in the Nintendo community?
What do you do?
Well, like, we have to know. Like, well,
tell us.
What do I do? I host a rather nice little podcast with two fine friends of mine, Harrison Bielfeld, who lives in the great country of America, and Lewis Pugh, who lives in the otherwise great country of Britain. And we do a Nintendo-centric podcast every week. It comes out every Friday. Matthew was once a guest. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And, we just passed a milestone of our 50th episode.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. We're old. It's okay. You can tell us that.
We're a spry 27.
Hey. We're halfway there. Just one more year.
We got some other episodes in between, though, because we had our super episodes.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah. So we're over 30 in total, but normal episodes we had 27. So, Colin, as our guest this week, you have the honour of choosing our opening theme this week. So, what is it?
Well, it's tough. This was a really tough decision. But I have decided on Green Hill Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog.
And so with that, let's move on to our next section. So this is the news section of the podcast. Now, we've got a pretty good amount right now. Let's start with a piece of news that I was very happy with last week. It was at Level 5, who are the developers of the famous, famous Professor Layton, because it's my million selling franchise, and other games. Who did that?
It wasn't me that time.
Jack, God's sake!
It wasn't on me!
You know what, fine. Let's just move on.
Okay, let's do it.
Anyway. Basically, Level 5, they announced during an Nintendo live stream last week that they are working on new Professor Layton and Inazuma Eleven games, which excites me to no end because I love both franchises. I thought neither were coming back because they both had their last installment in 2013, or rather their last proper installment. We're only just getting the Inazuma Eleven games over here. I'm hoping that Nintendo of Europe haven't completely ditched it for Yo-Kai Watch, because Level 5 also developed Yo-Kai Watch. Nevertheless, just the fact that like we're getting new installments in these franchises just like is really good to hear.
Have they announced what platform this is for yet?
They haven't. I'll get into this bit about details of each game, but I think
that's worrying.
Well, I think it's a given that it's going to be on 3DS, or at least, if not, the NX, if it's going to be...
I don't think it's a given anymore. I mean, because Fantasy Life, which was a Level 5 RPG, that's obviously a 3DS game, but the sequel's a smartphone game.
Well, no, so actually, it's like... there was a Layton 7 that was confirmed to be a mobile game. That was announced a couple of years ago. So hopefully this won't be a mobile. You do have a good point, but I don't think the next installment in the main series for Professor Layton is probably like the most.
I think Professor Layton is too tired to the 3DS. So
yeah, and it's just like
I think Matt's gonna put his stamp on that. It's the Gibson given.
Yeah, another Gibson given
returns.
The Gibson given returns. That's our title. But yeah, so basically with the new Layton, it will not be starring Professor Layton. It will be a completely new protagonist.
A Professor Layton game which doesn't have
Without Fred Layton. Yeah.
Don't ask me.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
I thought you were supposed to be the all-knowing Professor Layton Master, Matt.
Well, we haven't got information. Like, I'm just saying. This new adventure. This new adventure will feature a brand new protagonist, which excludes Layton's son, Alfendi, who appeared in the mobile game Layton Bros Mystery Room. So it's going to be a completely new character in the Layton universe. I'm hoping that it will be something like Aslan Legacy, so I'm hoping that we'll see the same charming characters and environments that we'll get just as an exciting story, and of course puzzles, which...
I think Layton has to make a cameo in it at some point, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think so.
It's a Professor Layton game. He has to be there somewhere.
You see, he's got top hat hidden somewhere, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Even then, like, that's enough.
It's Layton.
That seems to be... But they've also released concept art images as well, and it does seem to be based in London again, judging by some of the screenshots. So it may be taking place in the same universe where it's just like a different professor. I have no idea.
You're just guessing now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, it's concept art. That's all you have to do with concept art. I don't give you any information. Anyway. And then we also got... Then they also confirmed that a new Inazuma 11 title is coming as well, which is very exciting to me, because if you've listened to the podcast before... you know that I do like me some Inazuma 11, because it's just so fun. It's level 5, they do a lot of RPGs, Inazuma 11 is one of them, and I think it's far better than Yokai Watch, because you actually do stuff in the battles in this one. Go on.
I really like the concept of Inazuma 11, it's like a football RPG. I don't like the games at all. Stylus touch. It just doesn't do it for me. Oh. It's a really cool concept, but why does it revolve around the stylus?
I don't know. I quite like that aspect, though, because it's like it's always keeping you active, because it's not like you wait your turn and then you make your move. You're always thinking about where to move your players. You move many at one time, so on and so forth. So I quite like that aspect about it.
Do you have to do a lot of development of your players in the game? You should do a lot of training and stuff like that.
Well, I guess so, yeah, like you level them up. As they level up, they get more special moves and just like stronger stats, etc. But yeah, basically, in this title, they'll be returning to the roots of the first trilogy, so that means no avatars, avatar armed, Avatar Armed, or Souls. Souls were seen in Galaxy, which you still have to get over here. So there's no over-the-top gimmicks. It's just going to go back to basics, and hopefully it'll focus on really cool special moves. Because that's what I really liked about the last game in the last trilogy. Because I think what that did well was like just a wide range of characters, all with good, with a lot of special moves. So I'm hoping that'll be something like that. And it'll be set in the same time as the first trilogy as well. So we got confirmation of when it will happen on the timeline, but it'll be in a new area, I think, with new protagonists and so on.
Well, you sound very excited about it.
I am. I'm very excited. No, son. There's gonna
just
be
silence for everybody else, but Matthew's very.
I've never played it. So...
Fair enough, but you should, because you like football as well.
Yeah, I'm quite big into the football. Well, unless, of course, you are an England fan, and we're recording the day after they lost miserably against bloody Iceland.
Oh, that's tragic. That's
so maybe I won't be playing many football games in the future. So,
and they also, this is just something small, but it's good to see that they'll be doing another anime as well, because it'll probably take an eternity until it comes out over here in Europe. So it's nice that we're getting something, or at least something that we can watch. Speaking of anime, cheeky plug, so to speak, I recently did an article about the top 5 anime I want to see from Nintendo, like Nintendo games I want to see as an anime. Which I promised, like, when I went back on your podcast, Colin, I promised that article to be way back.
Yeah.
When I went on, so
From what I can see of the artwork for Inzoom 11 and Professor Layton, it looks rather pretty.
Yeah, like,
that's pretty much all I can say about it.
Level 5's like art style I really like, and the 3DS games are just gorgeous. Like they're some of the best looking games on the system, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Inazuma game I played on DS, you know, I wasn't too like over enamored with it. It did look really good. I was like, this is impressive what they're getting out. So yeah.
Anyway,
Sam's like, what?
what's even happening? Anyway, so the next piece of news, aside from his 25th anniversary, Sonic the Hedgehog has been a new Sonic the Hedgehog game has been confirmed and will be coming 2017. This was by Tokyo Sonic Team boss Takashi Iizuka, and it was shown off during a live stream. It's going to be, the game will be fully unveiled at the anniversary event, which is will be in San Diego, and will be happening on 22nd of July. It'll be streamed online, so you don't have to be at the event yourself to see it get announced. But it's really exciting, because Sonic Heroes, forgive me for it being Sonic Heroes, but that was one of the first video games I've played in my life. So Sonic...
That's not the best of starts.
Yeah, no, but still. So Sonic, ever since then, I feel like he has had like a special place in my heart for like a good while. So it's nice to see that he gets a new game. Because the last good one was Generations, so that was 5 years ago. I haven't played Sonic Lost.
You can go back and play Sonic 1.
Yeah, I do.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, there is a humble bundle of Sonic games at the moment for Steam, so you can pretty much pick up every single Sonic game there is for like £25.
Yes, yeah, because it's only a few worth having in that bundle, but yeah, it's probably worth picking up.
I don't have the money though, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's a bit of a block.
Any new game is quite, I'm quite happy for, so...
I would like it to go back to 2D. Because I feel like the 3D Sonic games have always been kind of weak.
Sonic Colors was good. Sonic Colors was good. They just need to focus on that aspect of speed, I feel like. That's what I need to focus on, like...
That's what he's famous for.
Yeah. So I focus it on,
but
like...
There's a very mixed opinion on the 3D Sonic games, I think.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to like the 2D Sonic games, so...
That's true.
I can quite understand why Colin is saying, why not just go back to those sort of games? It's very true, but I think personally, I always liked Sonic Adventure series as well, which was originally on the Dreamcast.
They were good, yeah.
As well as the GameCube, which I played it on. They usually have them during anniversaries, because Sonic Adventure 2 was released on the 10th anniversary, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then I believe Sonic 06 was on the 15th.
Yeah, everyone should avoid that one. Like,
yeah, we don't talk about
that. Yeah, that didn't happen. So,
part of me would have minded it being Generations 2, but then again, I don't want it to be Generations 2. Because I feel like that's a bit too lazy. Because you can't have like two proper games doing practically the same thing.
I like them to move away from... Sorry, Matt. I'd like them to move away from Sonic being complete, because I just...
I thought we loved Sonic, that was a minefield.
The TV series is good. It's okay. It's not amazing, but it's okay. The game is just not playable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like... I think it's a Gibson given, so to speak, that it won't be a Sonic Boom. Because we are getting Sonic Boom Fire and Ice, which I believe is due out later this year. Remember when that was first revealed and we were just like so shocked on like why is it even a thing?
Why is it still called Sonic Boom?
Yeah.
Why cling onto that? Because that name has such negative like connotations attached to it.
That's true. Well, apart from the TV. Well, apart from the TV series, so. Like TV.
Yeah, series. But I mean, it. You say Sonic Boom is something. First thing I think of is the game, not the TV show.
That's true.
Generally
the main,
speaking.
The main thing that they need to do with that is Sonic Boom, their whole series of games, is not done by Sonic Team at all. They're all done
That's true.
By a subsidy of Sega.
Yeah, I think so, this is a Sonic Team Sonic game, which is very promising.
So you're saying Sonic Boom is like the Sonic that people... We can just go and do what they want with, and we'll focus on this good
like,
Sonic game.
The best way to describe it is like it's like the CDI version of Sonic.
That's not putting it in a good light at all.
It's like giving it to someone else and then expecting it to be amazing when it ends up being awful.
Has anyone actually, have you played those CDI games?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, I'm glad someone else has, because... Oh boy.
The Zelda ones are just so bad. It's
you can just tell when you start playing this game's a classic. Yeah. And you get into it, it's like, what do they do? It's awful.
I'll try and get Sam to play them because I'm sure a game over in Portsmouth, which is like a gaming cafe, I'm pretty sure they have a CDI in there. Yeah, with,
oh, awesome. With
the older Zelda games in there. So next time we're in there, we'll definitely have to give them a go.
I would rather stab my eyes out with a blunt pencil than play CDI games.
Oh, whoa.
It's a bit harsh.
Well, that got dark quickly, didn't it?
A sharp pencil at least, but no.
Nah. This would be more fun.
What?
I've seen what they're like. You can't trick me.
This got really dark really quickly. The darkest news section we've ever had.
you can thank the CDI for that.
Anyway, moving on to our next piece of news. Me and Mr. Me, I'm just having a hard day today, you know.
Me and Moto.
Yes. Satoru. Not Satoru. Oh,
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Shigeru Miyamoto, he has spoken a little bit about the NX being Nintendo's upcoming console, which will be released in March of next year. The Associated Press talked to Mr. Miyamoto about the NX, and this is what he said. In terms of NX, there's an idea that we're working on. That's why we can't share anything at this point, and I don't want to comment on the other companies. If it was just a matter of following advancements in technology, things would be coming out a lot quicker. So it's good to see that Nintendo aren't strictly following trends of the day, and I think VR is a slight possibility to be coming to NX, it's good to see that like its main concept won't be VR.
Yeah, it's glad to see that's not the focus. Because that was my concern with NX announcements. Oh, it's an NX, it's a VR machine. And it'd be like, oh.
I that.
Like, come on. It seems everyone's doing it now, so...
Yeah, you know. I'm glad they're going in a different direction.
Like, I think they may do well. If VR does take off and become mainstream. And to be honest, I think like the only chance person, with the only company having a chance of doing that is Sony with their own... PlayStation VR. So I've had a pretty good amount of things with that. But VR talk is for another day. But with... If Nintendo chose to do it... chose VR as a core idea for the NX, I think it'd just be like a huge loss for everybody, really.
Pretty
because
much, yeah.
It's not doing anything original. It's... and I think, like... I'm not undermining VR in any way. I think it's very innovative and it's a good industry.
The way Reggie's been sort of playing down specifications in consoles and saying Nintendo normally go for promoting their software, that would make me want to think that they're trying to play it down that their next console is not going to be as powerful, and then I would have thought that VR would probably not be viable.
Yeah, because you need something quite beefy to run it.
that's true. Actually, like... So it's... Oh, go on, Jack.
It's just in general, I just don't think it will happen. NX or within any time soon, unless they can possibly double the power of what they've got at the moment.
That's right.
And I think with Nintendo's main aim is to get as many consoles sold at the cheapest price possible. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Actually, like Jack, what you said there about Ridge's comment, should we talk about that quickly? Because that has what brought up a lot of talk about what exactly.
Before you say that, I mean, there was an interesting one from Miyamoto. He was mentioning the Mario game.
Oh yeah, I think that's been going around for a good while.
It was floating around again recently. He basically reckons there'll be a new Mario game for the NX, but it won't be at launch.
Oh,
which is interesting.
Hopefully in the launch period then, because having
we didn't actually specify when, but he just said it wouldn't. It'd be unlikely to be around the launch time, but does this mean we're going to have a Mario-less launch?
It sounds like it. It sounds like Zelda's going to be taking the centre stage.
Yeah.
Miyamoto did also state that this is going to be like a new kind of Mario. So it's not a galaxy, it's not a, you know, a sequel to Sunshine, which everybody's wanted for ages.
I'd love that.
I would love it. It'd be awesome. But, so, yeah, I'm kind of intrigued about where this could go. But
yeah, just like
Mario Maker 2, I might be
No. Yeah. We're just like bringing up a like about what Reggie said about what they're going to be doing about specs. I don't think this necessarily means that it won't be as powerful as Xbox One and PS4. They're just saying that it's not their primary focus. But at the same time, they do need to be taking in consideration like how powerful their console can be. Because like for those that like are into tech and stuff, they will look at the NX and say, this is a powerful console, so this is good. You know, they won't be necessarily looking at the games, which I don't think is right, but there are people out there that will be focusing on just the specs.
Yeah, it does sell consoles on its own. The fact that you've got the most powerful console makes you think, oh, I better get that one then, if that's that's the best one you can get.
Yeah, because at least you know a powerful system, there's going to be some longevity with the software that you'll get. Yeah. It doesn't feel outdated. Yeah, when Reggie did say about the specifications and content, you need the specs to get the content. Because if you want to port things over from another system, your specs have to be on some similar level to run the software. So, yeah, the NX does need to have something behind it. It can't just be another underpowered.
I mean, this is a problem with quite a few PC players as well, because they're saying they'll have to upgrade their computers just to be able to run VR platforms, not even before they thought about running games as well. So to get consoles to do it on top of that is a difficult task on its own, which is why a lot of the Xbox just released their new 4K system that they've announced, and then Project Scorpio as well, and PlayStation seemingly doing the same thing following suit. I think there might be a massive gap there for Nintendo to try and catch up if they want to do a VR system.
Well, I think they just have to, like, have a decently powerful, like, if they just come the same level as PS4 and Xbox One, I think that's going to be fine. Because that'll be enough to say, our developers, if they want to put the games on NX, it shouldn't be too much in terms of power. But then again, like, I'm kind of confident with what Mr. Kimishima, what he's saying about the NX, because I think he's a man that can be trusted. Because, like, he's been doing a great job of running Nintendo, or at least from what I could see. From a business perspective, and he's just being open about it. He's just saying, like, the Wii U was a failure, but we're making sure that this doesn't happen again. And I'm quite confident that, from what he's saying, that NX will be a really good console. But it's another thing entirely if they don't decide to, one, market it right, and two, if they do not get that third-party support. Because there are, like, even though I believe, like, Nintendo systems are worth getting them just to play Nintendo games alone. because they make the best games, in my opinion at least. But there are people out there that do want to play like more mature titles, or just like Call of Duty or FIFA and stuff like that. If they see that DNX has games that they don't want to play, and other systems of games that they do want to play, then they're going to go to the other system.
Yeah.
So it's like they do need to attract like both audiences, not necessarily casual market, but just like getting in
It does seem that they're trying to move into their own massive niche. I know Nintendo have done it for quite a while, but it seems to me they're trying their best to move away from what everyone else is doing now and try something different.
Yeah. Well, I think the main...
Well, I think it's like important that they need to do something different, because they do need to differentiate themselves. Because if you want like your console to stand out, it's got to be different, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yep.
But at the same time, if it goes too different, then that may...
Well, that's the issue with the Wii U.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the issue with the Wii U, so face it. It is such different architecture and everything else compared to the PS3 and the Xbox. Well, PS4 and Xbox One had... That's why I didn't get the titles, because it was impossible to port that stuff over.
The Wii U, in all of its honesty, is a massive experiment they've done with using the pads and things like that. And it's worked, in some ways it hasn't, but it's testing the water for that sort of...
I think, like, all that I want, though, is that, like, they make full... they use it to the full capacity. Because I think, like, with the gamepad, I think it shouldn't be used with every game, as we've seen with Star Fox Zero, because those controls... I haven't played it myself, but those have been up for debate, a lot of times.
Yeah, that's the issue with that game.
But with games like Splatoon, Splatoon probably has the best use of the gamepad, in my opinion. You've got the gyro, you've got the touchscreen, you've got the amiibo functionality, you know. But
you can still play Splatoon with a controller. The gamepad doesn't bring anything. I would think there's any game that's been like showcases game that will. I think the best example is probably Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Because that's the only game where it's, you can do this without tedious and horrible.
Yeah.
And when you got the gamepad, it becomes a great, easy process.
You basically need the pad to be able to build levels, but you can also do it without the pad and just go and play other people's levels. So it's
exactly,
that's trying to use everyone who likes making things and likes playing things. It seems to work well with Mario Maker, definitely. But
I think with those two games,
there is
Splatoon and Super Mario Maker, it just shows that Nintendo can still be popular, because those have generated a lot of interest over in the internet. So all I need to do is just get that marketing down points, get people from the internet and the general consumer as well.
That was always the original problem with Wii U in the first place. No one really knew what it was and
who it was around. For. Yeah, the target audience, all that. I mean, really, the Wii U, I just kind of felt like they were just wanting to ride that Wii success, you know, try and keep it going, but.
It had the right ideas to say, look, you can still play your Wii games on here, but this is an upgraded console. But they just didn't tell everyone it was an upgraded console.
It's... Yeah, and it just came too late.
Definitely.
So.
Anyway, interesting developments.
just moving on here, Jack. I believe you wanted to say something about an upcoming Miitomo update.
I just logged in today. And there's some notifications that come up from Nintendo. There's a little update on its way. It hasn't given any dates, but it says just wait a little longer for this update. It'll come soon. But basically, there's a few new features to it. There's talk about your news at any time when talking with your Mii. So I think this is a sort of, you can do a status update without having to answer a question. Possibly, which is an interesting one. Tap links in answers or comments to open them in the browser, which I definitely will like, because I can easily sprout my advertising of the podcast everywhere, and people can click it. Wink, 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 nudge, nudge, follow me on Metabo. They've upped the popularity and style levels up to a maximum of 30. They've also going to be increasing service options for sharing. So I think they've mentioned WhatsApp will be linked to it as well now. And then there's a few more regional settings. So Switzerland, Mexico and South Africa will be added. So there'll be more people on there who we can't understand. Well, maybe South Africa, but maybe I'm not too sure about Switzerland and Mexico. And just the general speeds and bug fixes all over to be cleaning up the app. So there are some interesting sort of things in there, and I can definitely see why they're doing it. And I think when answering questions, it's great and stuff, but if you want to post something just randomly out there, like you do on things like Twitter and Facebook, it's not quite as easy on Metomo to do, but maybe that is sometimes the actual feature of Metomo, is the fact that you don't have to do the same as you do on the other social media. So
yeah,
it's kind of to and fro with that one, whether that be a good idea or not.
Does anyone still use Metomo?
Anyone here? No.
I dropped it like 2 weeks after it came out. It was really cool, and then it's like tedious. I don't need. It's extra like finger work for me to do. I just don't want to do it.
No, not extra finger work. That's amazing. I think I've still like anyone who adds me, I normally just accept as a friend. I'm over 300 people.
Oh man, you must be here forever.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's always busy though. I can always
he's doing it right now.
Answering up. So. But I still quite enjoy it, and there's still quite funny conversations going on about random things.
Yeah, I still use it now and again. Like, I go in every day and get my login bonuses and stuff like that, and like the little costumes.
I'm still hoping that something different other than a few costumes on Metomo comes up from the coins. I think that's my sort of...
I think they just need like a little game in there or something other than Metomo drop.
I like that we're getting offers for vouchers. Some games.
Yeah.
I know Paper Mario Star has just been added to the download list for the Selects range. And it's about 15 quid at the moment, but the coupons still work for it.
Ooh.
So you can extra 10 to 20% off.
Nice.
Or better as well. So it's pretty good that you can still do that.
Well, I think like Nintendo needs to be putting more effort into My Nintendo rather than Metomo. Because it's like, they put out a while ago, oh, we've got over 10 million people on Metomo. It's like, oh, well, yeah. That's all well and good, but only a tenth actually probably use it daily now.
Yeah.
Another tenth probably monthly.
I mean, the only thing that would draw me back to Metomo is if your Mii that you customise actually appeared on the other platforms. Like, when you turn your Wii U on, your Mii's there, but he's dressed as he is in Metomo. That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be quite cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, my Nintendo just needs to, like, sorting out, because, like, the coupons, they're quite good. But they're just coupons. That's all they're offering for, like, loyalty.
It's still very early days with that whole account.
True. So I'm hoping by the time NX rolls around, they're just going to go all out. Oh, this, if you do this in your game, you're going to get more points we could be used to.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Figures or CDs and all this awesome stuff from Club Nintendo, but right now it's just, you get 10% off a game that you already own.
I think they're still testing the waters at this stage.
I think so.
They've only got me something to worry about. When the NX comes down, they've got to link all that in. Yeah, I think right now it's like, let's see what we can see what people are like.
I think Metomo will help in that though, because they can read the questions and answers and go through and think, that's actually valuable data they can use and say, oh, people really like this. In the game, why don't we add it as an add-on? Go from there, kind of thing.
Let's hopefully no more questions about bread rolls.
Oh,
what's a bread roll called in your area? I'm like,
wait, what?
Famous, damn hard to catch.
Famous coupon for free bread from Tesco's.
Seriously, that's the question I had today. So, question, what's a bread roll called in your area? I'm like,
Blooming bread rolls.
How do they even come up with a question like that?
What's your favourite bread?
I was quite amazed at some of the questions the other day, though, because they mentioned Germany playing their first game in the Euros.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have done a couple of football questions.
Oh, that's pretty cool, to be fair.
So like, yeah, and things like that. So I was like, oh, okay, that's different.
Anyway, let's move on until we ramble on too long, which we are known for.
You are.
Me? No, you're lying.
Still
longest episode of Nintendo Voice, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been it yet.
I think I should come back on, just like try.
Try and beat the record. I like that.
Just like prolong it as long as possible. Now, the next piece of news, which is our final one, is that the Nintendo 64 turned 20 the other day.
Yay.
I can't speak for it at all because I'm not even 20 yet. So I'm just going to let you guys talk it out.
But I can't because I...
Talk about Nintendo 64. I know you could do so well with it.
Shut up. I was unfortunate as a child. My mum wouldn't buy me one.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Mum.
Sam's mum.
Mean.
Do you know what the reason was?
What was
it? We were in the shop and we were looking at this. I was like, oh, mum, look, I've been waiting for that. That game looks good. She goes, oh, no, the games look too expensive. Why do you have a PlayStation? I'm like, oh.
And you're like, damn Nintendo and their cartridges.
Yeah.
How could they?
That was the first problem with the 64, that the cartridges were like 50 quid.
So I missed out on an entire era of Nintendo stuff. I was like, oh, okay.
Have you not played any N64 at all?
I did play, I'll say this though, I did play some of the remakes on the DS when it came out. So I had
some
64 DS.
So you never had time with a Trident controller?
No.
Oh, man.
I really want to one day.
That controller's amazing.
Have a go... We went to a street past Portsmouth event. I'm sure Sam had a go on the Mario Party game.
Oh, actually, I really want to play Mario Party.
I didn't. I've played Mario Kart 64
at my
friend's house. That much I played. And oh my god, my hands hurt after holding that controller. I was just like, how do I hold it? And he's like, you just, I don't know. However you feel. And I'm like,
just do what you want.
I'm like, after 10 minutes, I'm like, my hands hurt. I want to play, but this is annoying. I'm like,
man.
They could have improved on the ergonomics.
Oh, that controller was probably the worst aspect of the N64, to be honest.
It's really good. Hold on, I just want to say this. It's really good when we're talking about one of the most iconic video game consoles in history, and we're talking about it in such a negative way.
I'm sorry.
Every system has a negative. True. Okay. This is just
you've got to get rid of the negative to start and go on to the positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they had a good games. That much I can probably say is a positive. Like from what I've gone through and seen in the past, like Star Fox 64, Mario Party, Pokemon Colosseum. List goes on.
Stadium, Pokemon Stadium, not Colosseum.
It's okay.
I didn't have an N64. Shut up.
I can't believe we've got to save this.
Pokemon Stadium wasn't even that good, to be fair.
I enjoyed it when I got to play it.
Banjo Kazooie, folks. You like Pokemon Stadium? It's a terrible game.
It's one of the hardest games. Sorry?
Oh, I just said don't get into another fight.
Sorry. Pokemon Stadium is a great game if you owned the Game Boy games.
I'll concede that to you, yeah. But on its own...
that's where I enjoyed it because I had the Game Boy game, which is fine.
You had the transfer pack.
Yeah.
Trying to hold one of those now is a nightmare.
Yeah, imagine.
So we've got to save this, Colin. There's got to be some... What's the best features of the 64?
Best feature in 64?
I've got one. I'll let Colin speak first, sorry.
To be fair, I'm still trying to gather my thoughts on it, because I mean, there's quite a few facets of it. I do, the fact that it had four controls built in, I really enjoyed. The N64 was a magnificent multiplayer machine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It had four ports. You didn't have to buy a multi-tap.
Nope. Yeah, and it did mean you had to buy four N64 controls, which were terrible. And you could play Mario Party, the original Mario Party, which was the destroyer of controllers. It would form a pattern into the palm of your hand, and it was horrible.
It's literally impossible to win at any of the games where you had to rotate the control stick unless you used your palm of your hand to do it.
Yeah, you guarantee
you get a blister from doing it.
And you're drilling. The choice is just drilling like an indentation to your hand, and it's just
They did send out
gloves.
Yes, they did in the end. Yes,
which is this is hilarious.
Was right. But GoldenEye is definitely worth a mention if we're talking multiplayer.
Because absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
The four-player and two-player on that was so good for its day and age. It bring the first-person shooter genre out to everyone.
Okay, and it brought it, kicking and screaming into split-screen multiplayer, which is
showed how well you could do with it, and then it expanded on it slightly with Perfect Dark, which is still one of the better-rated games on the 64.
It
started a lot of genres out, and it used a lot of features that other games had never used before.
I mean, GoldenEye, when it came out, people weren't really expecting much from it because it was a licensed game. Mm. And even back then, they were just, they're games you don't touch.
When you think about licensed movie games in older consoles like Mega Drive, NES and SNES, and other older consoles, loads of them are just awful. So.
Mainly because most of them came from LJN and they're just they're terrible. But I mean, GoldenEye was the first one that actually did it good. And it was true to the movie. There was one or two levels that kind of branched off, but it told you the GoldenEye story really well.
Yeah.
It played well. It ran at two frames a second, but it was amazing when you first started doing it.
A lot of the staff were involved in the game ended up having their faces in the game as well, which is what I always thought was amazing.
that's really cool. GoldenEye is far better than the remake they did later on, way later. GoldenEye Reloaded? That's just terrible.
There's been about three four called GoldenEye just to try and people back into it. Don't do it again, please. I want to have a quick mention for the obvious Lilac Wars, Star Fox 64.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Which is Lilac Wars, as it was called over here. Yeah, which is still the oddest name. It's kind of better than Star Wing we got for the Super Nintendo.
The reason for it, if I remember, there was a German company called Star Fox.
I believe so,
That sounds, and because of the likeness to it, they had to change the name to Lilac Wars, which was really random.
It's bizarre. It's the game is still awesome. And the voices were so good. Well, I say good. Slippy Toad was...
Slippy Toad.
Oh, that was... I had
some other games written down. Mario Kart 64, we sort of briefly mentioned.
Amazing.
For multiplayer reasons, I think, because having four people cram around a screen to play that game was pretty awesome. But that one I've always been really confused with, because if you play with more than two people, they just cut the music out, so you can
actually play to make the game run smoothly, they're like, well, we can't have music anymore. But it's still great. I think it's one of the weaker Mario Karts. I don't think it's stood up to the test of time as well, but
In terms of graphics, it's not as good, but it's still...
In general fun factor, I think the courses aren't as well designed as they are now. Of course, one game we have to mention, which no one's played, is Banjo-Kazooie. The greatest 3D platformer of all time. And
it is amazing.
I thought that honor went to Donkey Kong 64, surely.
No. I say Banjo is far superior to Donkey Kong.
It's between that and Mario 64.
That's tough. Mario 64 itself may be the greatest launch game ever made. For any system ever. if you, it's the system that came out with Super Mario 64. It's just, there's no launch game of that caliber ever again. That game has such legs; it can last you forever.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. The way even they try to redevelop it onto the DS, it, it wasn't as good, but it was still quite a nice feeling to be able to play it again. And with the extra characters and stuff like that. But
yeah, they captured it, the original, pretty well.
The original is still such a super game, and I think it's when I first started playing that originally, it was one of the first like 64 games I played, and just to see like Mario running about just randomly and then fall asleep and stupid things like that, and then it was just so good. I was just like, I don't know why no one's not enjoying this as much as they. A lot of people nowadays are saying that it's sort of dated poorly, but
really?
So.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it's still perfectly. At least one of the few N64 games you could say is still perfectly playable.
I think the only issue with that game is this, normally the camera controls.
Yeah.
For most games like that, it's always been an issue.
Was the first. This is the game that showed them how to do it. Really, yeah. The camera. I mean, yeah, it was the first of its kind.
Basically, using a person holding a camera as like
to,
which is quite unique. And
they had to show the cameraman before they put it. That was really clever.
In parts as well.
The battles are recall being quite tough. You have to rotate the stick. You have to spin him around and try and get into land on the bombs. Because of the use of 3D space, it was amazing.
Now, I'm trying to think some more obscure 64 titles before I go on to the obvious Zelda ones. Paper Mario Near the End was a fantastic game.
Paper Mario is quite good. I played that on the virtual console.
On the console. Of course, one of the biggest mistakes Nintendo probably did was because they didn't get Final Fantasy VII on the 64.
No, that's true. That's the reason they gave. But I mean, I don't think that's entirely true, because Capcom, being the technical wizards that they were, got the entirety of the two-disc Resident Evil 2 game onto a single cartridge.
Yeah,
I think that's like an incredible achievement just from them.
Ukulele bringing out a N64 version of Ukulele.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
Crazy.
It's amazing. Ukulele, I can't wait. That game's gonna be so good.
Really, I think because it uses, it takes it back from like Banjo Kazooie and Tui, as you briefly mentioned earlier. I think like the humour in those games, and the actual gameplay in general, it's very similar to Mario 64, but it's got its own charm, and it's just so good in terms of actual comedy in the game.
It
was never really used in any other game until then, but yeah, still one of those ones that are always memorable. So Ocarina Majora,
we have to go there. Yeah,
we have to go there.
Okay, let me ask you this: out of the two, which do you prefer?
Ocarina.
Really?
All right, I'm gonna say something that will get me 1,000 death threats from the internet. I did not like Majora's Mask all that much. I really didn't. Well, to be fair, like both are judging from the 3D versions. I still liked it. It's still a great game.
Yeah.
But just something about it, like, it just didn't sit right with me. I think
agree with Matt.
Really?
But to be more constructive, I felt the mood and the atmosphere really got to me, and I just like the whole backwards progress and the story just being like that was like, oh.
I think for me personally, it was like the side quests and stuff. That's why.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. The game's got more side quests.
And sometimes you don't. Well, to be fair, maybe it's just me like not talking to like enough of people in Castle Town. To be fair, like, Hearthstone was probably my favourite part, because that place is just so alive, just brimming with character. That's what I like about Majora's Mask, like, everything feels interconnected. But I didn't know which side quests got you the other masks, and you need those other masks in order to get Fearsome Deity.
That's right.
Yeah.
The
3D version does help you a little bit with the manual net in that.
It helps you a lot more than the original. The original just kind of like gave you the bomber book, and off you go. It's like, right, okay.
Well, Ocarina of Time, I think, it's not my favourite game in the world, but I think it does.
It flows better, I think.
It flows better, and I think it really is. Well, not entirely deserving, but it is very deserving to be like the most critically acclaimed game of all time.
I think it deserves it. I just don't. Everyone considers it to be like the greatest Zelda game. Out of the entire series, I don't think that's true anymore.
No, I just don't think that's true. I wouldn't say it's the greatest. Well, I think very good game.
Ocarina was probably one of the first games I actually completed.
Oh, really?
All the way through. Maybe some of the Sonic games.
I think that could change though with Breath of the Wild. I really think Breath of the Wild could overtake
it. I hope so.
But I think because of that sort of thing of it, that it's one of the first sort of games I really completed all the way through. I think that's why I've got so much love for Ocarina. But Majora's Mask is still an incredible game altogether. The fact that they did it so quickly and they brought it out.
That's true.
So quickly.
But they turned it around like it. Is it just over a year of development in Majora?
Yeah, just about a year, yeah.
And it's like, to carve out a game of that caliber, is amazing to do.
It's very strange they used so many of the characters from Ocarina than the old same models.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they had a choice, really, to do it in a year. Like, well, we'll borrow from Ocarina of Time and just create four new dungeons and call it a day. And that's basically what they did.
Build some of their own unique things to that game, which haven't been featured before, and it was
the mask
in terms of like sword designs and shield designs and all sorts of things. It was just crazy. I mean, the dungeons on that game are probably some of the best you'll probably get in the
best game. Great Bay. I love Great Bay. Great Bay is amazing.
I didn't really like the temples in Majora's Mask. I liked the final one, the Stone Temple. That was pretty good.
Yeah, Stone Temple's difficult but very good.
Yeah, but just the other ones I wasn't really too keen on.
What do you think of Link doing the Jackie Chan flips?
What's that?
How cool is that?
Yeah. Sorry, you may have to remind me.
He does like these front flips and side flips whenever he just runs off the edge.
I've got a few more honourable quick mentions of games. I'll just quickly fly through. The two Star Wars games, Rogue Squadron and Episode 1 Racer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Episode 1 Racer is probably the only good thing the prequels gave us, so yeah, that's worth it.
And Shadows of the Empire as well. Shadows of the Empire. Launch games for...
it was. And it's like one of the first games to go outside of the movies, like canon-wise, and be official canon. At the time, it was like, oh, this is official. It's all official.
Yeah, and, because I can't remember the guy's name now, but, his Dash ship Rendo? Scene in the new... That's it, Dasher. That's it. His ship scene in the newer remakes of...
That's right, That's true, yeah. Which is kind of cool. That's really cool.
You mentioned Pokemon Stadium, but what about Pokemon Snap?
Pokemon Snap. I'm going to be honest. I did not see the appeal in that game. I'm sorry.
It's a game, but all you do is you sit and watch for Pokemon.
Why
are
you asking for a sequel?
Have any of you played it?
It's the greatest on-rail Pokemon shooter ever.
Yeah.
You do shoot stuff.
Smash Bros.
Of course.
Started on the 64.
I really want to play that. I really want to try that out.
You really don't.
it feels a lot different.
Well, I'm sure it does, but I think like just being part of like what started it all.
It's very, very dated now, the original Smash Bros.
It's quite slow and moves. I mean, if you do like a single Smash move, it pretty much limits everybody. if it connects, their moves are so overpowered for everybody. Pikachu might be the single most powerful thing, though. He's down and B special just instantly kills you. It's like, oh, okay.
Right, last couple then. We'll go Turok. Have you ever played the Turok series?
Turok.
Oh, the game of fog.
The game of fog, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. With occasional dinosaurs. Mario Party, we've already mentioned. Mario Party 2 was probably my best.
It's always been said to be the best one, though I've never played it, and I've very really loved it.
It's that's the one I recommend.
Is it literally just because of the costumes?
The costumes are cute, and the problem is with the in the first Mario Party, when you do a game that requires you to rotate the joypad we mentioned earlier, it hurt. It was painful to play. They fixed that in the second one. It made it a lot easier to do those mini games around to like rip your flesh off.
They sat there, right, guys, let's try and make a game where it doesn't give you blisters.
Exactly. That's probably the thinking that went into it.
I just want to give a mention to Eric Plunk on Twitter. He tweeted us earlier in the week. He said he wanted to give a shout out to all the wrestling games on the 64.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he put countless hours into creating wrestlers in that game.
WrestleMania 2000, that was amazing.
WrestleMania 2000. Yeah. I had WWF Attitude, and I remember it mostly for the secret characters you could unlock.
Mm.
There was one that was literally just a floating head and an invisible body.
I remember that, yeah.
Which was the creepiest thing ever. But...
yeah, that was awesome. That was interesting. Yeah. Did either of you lot play Body Harvest?
Yes. What? But very, very briefly.
You should just direct that question to Jack, because neither of me or Matt know this.
Yeah, sorry. Really, sure.
Body Harvest is an interesting game, actually.
You know who made it?
Yeah, I know who made it.
Sounds like you just drive a combine harvester across a field and see how many.
If you think the idea of the name, and think of other games which are now widely available, originally on the PlayStation, now on Xbox One and PlayStation, one of the biggest games released ever in terms of sales and money made.
Yep.
What would you think?
Silence.
Grand Theft Auto.
It's from the makers of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay.
DMA Design. When they
DMA
were
Design, yep.
When they were originally, that was the first sort of Grand Theft Auto series, I think. They made Body Harvest.
So, Combine Harvester down the street then.
sort of had the right idea, actually. It was basically aliens attacking, and you had to go and save everyone.
To save the population, they got harvested by these giant
aliens. So, aliens in a combine harvester.
You could drive a vehicle that looked like a combine harvester, so I'm guessing you are kind of right. So.
And I've never even seen it.
Yeah.
It's a great game. It's as good as it sounds, really.
Yeah. It's not rated amazingly, but it is actually one of those little gems that's worth a go, definitely.
Absolutely.
I recommend that if you can get hold of it.
So, alien approaches the president. Take me to your combine harvester. Oh, dear.
I think we're all 64'd out now. I think I've...
Pretty much. I mean, I'm trying to think of any like glaring...
Just a little smoke map.
Conker's Bad Fur Day, we have to keep touch on. A great game if you're over the age of 18.
Yep. We should be playing younger than that.
There aren't that many Nintendo games that are that highly rated. Like, the age ratings. Are there?
That was one of the first, I think. I mean, it's actually, like...
Sorry,
Kombat
I was going to
say,
like,
64, but...
on the Wii U, you got, like, the zombie thing, and then they brought out Bayonetta 2, and I was like, oh. Yeah, that's a bit interesting move for Nintendo, because they don't usually go that kind of route.
I think they need to take more risks like that.
Yeah, I reckon they do, because they need to...
When you look at games on the 64, there was a lot of ones which are similar on other consoles, like Doom... Wrestling games, as mentioned, Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil. You know, there was.
But as an overall view of Nintendo, though, they do seem more like for the younger, and then like for the family, and but then they do those ones. It's like, right, interesting.
It's when I see this list of games and I see Body Harvest next to Yoshi's Story, I'm just like, they're two completely different games.
Yeah. I think we've exhausted this now.
It's been almost an hour on just the news.
Great console. If you haven't played it, go and get one.
Now a news discussion section, really, isn't it?
Pretty much. Like, this should have been our discussion, but I was. I just want it to be like less than 2 hours for once.
But it was a natural flow.
Yeah,
we're doing
good.
Natural flow. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I love the 64. So we definitely need to play some more of those games.
One of the more underappreciated Nintendo systems overall, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. It didn't sell as many as people thought. So.
No, nowhere near as many people thought.
So with
PlayStation versus
that...
dominance.
So with that, let's move on to our next section. So this is the what have you been playing section now of the podcast. Colin, as our guest, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Yeah, as of late, not a whole lot because I've been busy with work and stuff. But I have been like trying to pack in as much as I can with the Monster Hunter Generations demo.
Yeah,
I've been hammering away. I've not played a demo so much in my life. Every free chance I get, I jump on.
What did you think though?
It's really good. It holds great promise for me. I'm like, I wasn't sure about the whole the class, you know, the you get to choose which job you want and things like that. I was like, well, no, it works really well.
Good
I'm
man.
So
right
glad on. that I'm glad they're bringing back like some of the old monsters as well, which are missing from 4.
The whole Prowler mode, you could be a Palico, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, that's great fun. I was just kind of like, because at first I was like, you get play as this Palico, and I'm like, I will try it out.
I think
it's amazing. It's amazing.
I think I do need to try out the demo because I'm not too keen on Monster Hunter 4. I do need to like play it a bit more before I can say for sure.
You came in a bit late, Matt. To be honest,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Try giving it a go at the start for Monster Hunter Generations, and I bet you'll enjoy it immensely.
I think it's definitely one of those games you need to go to an event or a street pass.
I played at Comic-Con. I was like, this is bloody good fun.
Play with a few people.
I'm going to plan on playing it at Hyper Japan because I'm planning on going there again. Speaking of which, Nintendo of UK... I've revealed their plans. Basically, they're going to be doing a lot of Yo-Kai Watch stuff, which obviously pleases me to no end.
Yeah, of course.
No, I think it's good because like it is from Japan. It's massive over there. So it's kind of thing that it will have a huge presence at Hyper Japan. There'll be Monster Hunter Generations section, so I'll be playing that. There'll be a Dragon Quest section, so I may check that out. And then they have also mentioned that Pikachu will be going around, which is good. But I hope like that's not it, because last year they basically had most of their stuff from E3, so they had the new Zelda Triforce Zeroes, they had Star Fox Zero, and they had a good amount on offer last year. So I hope they have a decent amount on offer again this year.
There's a Fire Emblem cosplay contest. I'm sure you'll be interested in that.
I actually am. Because I do like Fire Emblem. Pardon?
Are you gonna enter it?
No, like my parents will probably disown me even more if I go into cosplay.
Really?
Anyway, moving on.
There's shiny Exernius there as well for anyone who's
shiny Exernius, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'm quite interested in like looking at Fire Emblem cosplay because I think it could be really cool.
I have to send you. No, it's on my Facebook page. I got a girl dressed up as. Is it the Matt? What's the girl with the blue hair? The
oh,
dancer,
it's Yura.
The singer?
That's the
yeah.
What Fire Emblem? It could be anyone.
I said the blue hair, the dancer. So there's a bit more of a breakdown there.
Let's break it down.
I'm just trying to be open-minded. Jack goes, Fire Emblem.
Just because it ain't Advance Wars.
Oh, we didn't do Advance Wars. Anyway, let's not go on to that.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, can you imagine if Intelligent Systems announced that they were working on a new game for the NX?
And it's called and NX Wars?
And there was another Fire Emblem. Oh my god.
Like another Paper Mario.
One that actually is an RPG. Anyway, moving on. So, Colin.
Yes.
What else have you been playing?
Or do you? That's about it, really.
Monster Hunter.
That's my life is Monster Hunter and work.
I liked the game. I gave a quick go on the demo. I've got a bit of an issue with it at the moment because they've changed the display on the touchscreen.
Yeah, because I used the touchscreen D-pad to change the camera, and that you can't do that in the demo. The option's blocked, and I was like, oh. So I'm hoping in the full game you can actually use that back again. So
I think it's a little bit
difficult to use. Sorry, button Matt. When you play in the demo, you've got to sort of stop to change the camera around with the normal D-pad.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's on the touchscreen, it's a lot easier to still move around and use the camera at the same time because you just sort of tap it on the screen.
I mean, I've got a new 3DS and they go, oh, you can use the nub. I hate the nub. It's terrible. It's the most imprecise little thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrendous. I just don't get on with it. I really don't. It's evil.
Oh, okay. Oh dear.
But yeah, anyway, Monster Hunter's looking good so far for Colin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. That's what I'd like to hear. We need more of that. Positivity.
Who wants to go next?
Does anybody... I've only got a few games.
All right.
Sort of... Is it mainly like what we've played at the event, or... that's all I can think of, really.
Well, if you want to go and do that first, you carry on.
Well... we had our event, didn't we? Our Street Pass meet up at a coffee shop.
Yep. In Street Pass.
Oh, yeah.
it's like
we actually had a little mini meet up, which has been ages since we've actually done any. So it was.
We hope nice to do that regularly.
I think there's 7 or 8 of us in the end.
Yes. Yeah.
We this played Monster Hunter 4.
Yep.
We played Mario Party, we played Mario Kart.
All the classics.
Yeah, you got really salty at me.
Oh, yeah.
I've never played Mario Kart 7, and Jack's all like, oh, are you winning? You cheating? And I'm like, I'm just playing. I don't know. I lost a couple of rounds, and he's still like, you can still beat me.
Sam's very good at Mario Kart 8. We are often on the Mario Kart UK Facebook pages, tournaments they do. They do like mini tournaments. We occasionally jump onto them. And we have a habit of me sort of leading on points for a while, then Sam eventually catches me up and beats me or destroys me on the game. And it sort of happened again on Mario Kart 7.
It's not intentional, I promise.
It just happens. It's just really weird. But it was still quite enjoyable, quite good fun.
Yeah, we had like lots of Smash runs, didn't we, on Smash Bros.
Of course, Bros.
Did. Yeah. 3DS as well. Oh, we missed that.
That is still one of the best things about the 3DS version on Smash.
Yeah, like Smash Tour is not the same as Smash Run.
No.
I do enjoy Smash Run more. I usually like my spare time if I got like 20 minutes to play it with Bayonetta and just I love it. It's like, ah, yes.
Yeah, Smash Tour just kind of feels like Mario Party Lite. It's even not that good of a Mario Party.
it's like a very bad imitation, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like the new Mario Party that's coming up, because you have to recruit people, don't you?
Yeah, it's odd. I saw it, I was like, okay.
At least it's interesting. It's not like going in
you're
a vehicle.
You're all not on the same car, and you can go around
the same way.
You can all roll at the same time. We played lots of other little games. I think I had a quick go on Pokemon with some other guys. I can't think what I've played now. It was really good fun, and it was good to get together again. Hopefully we can do a few more regular events with that.
I think the only other thing I've played is Pokemon Picross. I'm so close to finishing. I'm level 29.
Oh dear.
What?
I'm about to say.
I'm so close. I've got to finish more because I only did like half, so I could get the rare one that appears at a certain time or whatever. But like
that game is just so annoying though. I want it to be finished and done with, and I don't want to go back
so
to it.
So close.
Again.
I've done everything else. I just got to get to the end and get Mewtwo, and then go back and finish the Mew level so I can get it 100%.
Yeah.
And then I'll be done.
Are there any other games you've been playing, Sam, before I...
That is... Oh, and then obviously...
Metroid and...
Super Metroid. Oh, my God. I'm stuck. I'm stuck on Meridia. I've done, like, some of the other bits. Now I'm in Meridia, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going around in circles. I've had to cheat a little bit and use a walkthrough.
Oh, man.
You've never played it before, though, have you, Super Metroid? This is the first time you've played it.
Oh, that's fair enough, yeah. Okay,
some bits I looked at, like, I just recently, I think, posted today, and I was like, oh, no, it was yesterday, and there's a bit where, like, you're in a glass tube and you had the power bomb in it. I'm like, how was I supposed to figure that out? I'm like, how the hell did anybody ever finish this? And like, when I played Fusion, I didn't need to figure that kind of thing out. It flowed quite well, but this, I was just like, what the hell? Oh. I love the game. It's just like some bits really are too cryptic.
It's actually a really good game to watch again.
Me suffer.
I've never played it either, so it is quite a good one to sort of flow through, but I've never been very good at the 2D Metroid games anyway, but I did like you say, Fusion before. I played that for a few hours, and
I think Zero Mission says that's the strongest.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, because that was like the remake
or the original, or the original, yeah.
So, yeah, okay. And then Twilight Princess, I've gotten forever where Jack is now, actually, apparently.
I know, this is an annoying thing. I've been trying to stay ahead of you so I can sort of still watch it, and I'm just not in the mood to play it at the moment. I don't know why.
I'm up to... I've got to try and find a way to the Sky Worlds. If I remember rightly, this is the bit where it's like, it's a bit of a like, go this way, then you go back to there, and then you go find this bit.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
That's a bit frustrating, if I remember.
At least I'm rewarded with the, like, bit where I can go down the alley and start bow and arrow shooting everybody. Oh, I can't wait for that bit.
Cool. Is that it? Is there anything else?
That's everything, I think.
I'll just go quickly, Matt, because I ain't got that many games to mention. I've downloaded a couple of games because they've gone cheap. Well, they did go cheap for a little while on the sale, on the digital sale for Nintendo. I downloaded Earthbound.
All right.
I've only had a very brief hour or so on there. I think mainly because I have been obsessed with playing Undertale when it first came out. And I thought, everyone keeps going on about Earthbound being quite similar. I thought, well, I'll give it a go. Maybe I'll enjoy it. And I can definitely see how similar it is to Undertale so far. And it's a really good start. I'm really enjoying it. I'll definitely be going back into that soon. But the main game that I bought was the 3DS. I picked up Pokemon Trading Card Game.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing through that for most of the week, actually, to be honest. It's one of those I had before. I had it on the Game Boy Color, I think, before. And I just thought, oh, I remember that game being really good. And I thought, oh, I'll pick it up. And it's pretty good, just like the original trading card game. You play it like you do as a battle, and you play against people in 8 different gyms like you do in normal Pokemon games. It's great until you get to the battles.
Please don't. It's bring back so many bad memories.
It's terrible. I remember it being terrible.
Yeah.
There's a massive bias to the computer on the coin flips in this game.
It's
a massive
such
bias.
A pain.
And you can just guarantee, if you need, for instance, to hit a head to hit an attack, you can guarantee for the next 5 turns it's going to be tails. So Whereas if the computer needs to hit a coin to attack, it will hit it.
It's like boom right away. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think they got the ratios right in that.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit lopsided, shall we say. I'm sure there was a way of counteracting it with the A or B button some way in that game. You could like tell which way it flips.
That sounds like the rumor that you can tap.
It might be a rumor. It might be like a Mew underneath a truck somewhere or something.
It sounds like that, yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like it does something. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But
it just helps.
It's one of those. It's like I remember completing it as a kid, and I think I can still do it now. But now I'm thinking, why did I ever play this? How did I do this? It's a good game, but it's just so frustrating. Other than that, other than like as mentioned, the Monster Hunter demo, we've had a quick look on that, and all the games we did at Street Pass. I haven't really played a lot else. Like I said, I need to go back into Twilight Princess. I've still got Wind Waker Raptor to play. I need to get through Twilight Princess and finish that and go back to Wind Waker. Other than that, I'm done.
Alright. Well, I've been playing a decent amount of Nintendo stuff, although I recently got Undertale and both Danganronpa games.
I'm so happy for Undertale.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm really liking it. But I have been playing a couple of games on my 3DS. But first of all, I did start Affordable Space Adventures around about last week.
Oh, yeah.
Which was from the Humble Bundle as well. Finally started that. I'm quite liking it. I can't really say much. But from
planning on going through it by yourself? Because that game is an amazing multiplayer experience.
Oh, does it?
Is.
I'll probably play it co-op another time because I don't have a lot of friends near my house. So probably not. Aww. But it's like a 10-minute drive, and my mum wouldn't be happy like picking up a mate every week. That's too often. But other than that, on as it was half price, so it's only like about a couple of quids, I picked up Box Boy on the 3DS.
Oh.
And the sequel is coming out this Thursday, I believe, so by the time...
Which has the worst, by the way, the sequel has the worst title of any game ever.
Box Boy. That's so stupid.
It's the worst.
Well, to be fair, like, by logic, that means Box Squared Boy. So therefore, it's sort of like Box Boy 2, because you still got the 2. Anyway, it's a good little game. I feel like the challenge only steps up like in the latter half of the game. I feel like the first half is a bit too easy, but what I like about it is that each world there's about 17. Until you reach the final world, and then you get a little more bonus worlds after you beat the game. But from 1 to 16, the levels in that world, they each revolve around a special gimmick. So I like how it's not... This one gimmick is introduced, and you're always forced to deal with all these gimmicks at once as you go on. So it's always like this one gimmick. Some gimmicks overlap in some worlds, but most of the time it's just dealing with one core thing. Like one maybe these little enemies that have to go into a certain spot to stop respawning, or conveyor belts, or these special blocks. And when you fill them, they disappear. There is also some replayability in the form of crowns. Basically, the amount of boxes you can produce is limitless, although you have a limit on how many you could produce at one time. However, if you go past the a certain limit, the crowns will disappear. So you have to get to the crown. So you basically have to use as little boxes as possible.
As few moves as possible to get to where you need to go.
So So you always think about like how you could be most efficient in using your boxes in order to get those crowns.
I mean, I've seen the game and it does look incredibly clever. The puzzles
it
themselves.
It's quite good.
Yeah. I keep meaning to try it for myself and I'm just like, I don't know.
If it's one thing I do not like about it, it's just like, it just utterly lacks charm. Like, almost every... like,
it's too bland.
It really is, because it's just like, it's a little box, it's called Cubey, and that's really all you're given.
You think they're trying too hard to be cute with that?
Like,
the skins don't do for you, Matt.
Nah, like, they're
just... little bow or...
Nah, well, they're quite cool, to be fair, but that's it. Like, the world... I kind of get the style they're going for, because I think it'll be kind of odd seeing it in colour, but... I don't know, like, it just looks... I see why they go for the plain look.
Aww.
But I'm just not liking it. I just don't like the aesthetic of it. It feels... I wouldn't say uneasy. But...
Uneasy?
Yeah, it's just... It just has this weird feeling in my stomach whenever I just see it. And it's just like, ugh. I'm not even joking. I'm just like, how could you like?
You make
say...
Box Boys sound like a survival horror game.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
It makes me feel uneasy. I can get what you mean. Yeah.
But in terms of like its actual gameplay, is quite good. So and it's developed by Howl, maybe published as well by Howl. Howl Laboratories being the developers of the first two Super Smash Bros. Games. As well as Kirby. Speaking of Kirby, I've also been playing Kirby Planet Robobot because Did I talk about this last time? I can't remember.
You did.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Maybe. I forgot.
Have you been enjoying it anyway?
I have been enjoying it. I've finished it. All I really need to do now is just do the True Arena. That's it, I think, and collect the keychains, but apart from that, then I would have 100% of it. Nice. It's good. I'm planning on doing a review of it. That's my, that's what I'm planning on doing my next article to be. It holds up well. It's better than Triple Deluxe. I could say that with confidence.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because Triple Deluxe was good, but Planet Robobot, it seems to have, like, more of an... It seems to be more of an identity with its industrialized aesthetic. And the Robobot feature, it doesn't feel like a gimmick. It feels like a proper part of the gameplay. So that's what I like about it as well. The soundtrack is really good as well. There's some remixes to old Kirby songs as well, which is quite nice. It's a good game. If you like Kirby games, you're going to love Planet Robobot. If you like Planet... platformers, then Planet Robobot is good. It's Kirby. Like, I don't think, for the most part, Kirby games can do no wrong. Because, like...
I don't know.
The main Kirby games, like...
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing how amazing the Kirby games are. I still get to play a single Kirby game.
Really?
Yeah, there's just too many, and I'm like, I don't know where to start.
I'd say Kirby's Fun Pack. Which has got loads of Kirby games in it.
Like, a lot of...
I've got Kirby's Pinball Land on the 3DS, and I think that's the most I've played Kirby.
I thought it was just as a starting place.
My first one was...
it's a good game, though, to be fair.
My first one was Epic Yarn on the Wii. Which is quite good. I really want to play that again, now that I'm talking about it. Because I remember that being quite good. Actually... The final boss to Planet Robobot is really good. It's a fitting end.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a really good ending, I feel like. That's it. I'm just planning on playing more Undertale and Danganronpa for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and also it's my gameplay time.
And also, I really need to start Conquest in Fire Emblem Fates. Because I think now that I've finished Kirby, I think now is a good time to go back to Fire Emblem Fates. Because I said that I put it on hold as I play Kirby. Jack! Where's the Farnsworth? Where's the Farnsworth? Oh, yeah, it's in the Dead IP bin. Yeah, it's there.
That's no, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, that's hard. That's low.
It's nearly as bad as Colin said that Sonic 3 is a bad game.
Sonic 3 is a terrible game. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Guys, please.
I'm gone. I'm out. Yeah. Drop the mic.
Back quick.
So with that, let's move on to our next section. So this is our shout-out section right now. Well, yeah, it's our shout-out section. That's all there is to it, really. And also our final section. Colin, as our guest again, do you have any particular shout-outs?
I mean, not really. I mean, if Nintendo Voice, does that count? Can I do that?
Well, we might.
I'll do a bit of self-promotion. That's all good.
Yeah, check this all the time.
Yeah. No, it'd be awesome if you followed us on Twitter at Nintendo Voice. That's a weekly podcast. You can send messages at us. We'll grab them all together and we'll talk about it on the show. And good stuff. Yeah.
You quite often ask questions that me and Matt have put onto the page. I'm sure.
Yeah, we try and get as many as we can. Yeah, it's always fun.
It's nice to get feedback from people as well when they.
It is them. Absolutely.
Cool. Is there any other shout outs? If there's anyone else you want to.
You can follow my co-hosts at Lusion and at H. Milfeld. That's about it, really. No one else has asked me to do anything, so that's it.
You haven't been paid by anyone to...
Not yet. We're still waiting on that, but, you know.
Wow. Does anyone have any shout-outs? Can't think of any at the moment.
I just want to say quickly, just anyone that has done exams in the past 2 months, because I just finished mine on Monday, which was only yesterday, and I have never felt so free in life. I'm now just starts the grueling wait of for results day now. That's all. But other than that, it's just completely free. So shout out to anybody that's done exam. But also, I just want to say that this was, I believe it was yesterday. Today's, we're recording this on the 28th of June. Yesterday was the 27th. It was 1 year since my first article for VGTribune.com went live.
Look.
So that
congrats.
That was my review for Kid Icarus Uprising. Looking back, I think I was a bit too biased. If I was to rescore it, because recently,
what did you give it?
I gave it a 10 out of 10.
From experience, man.
I gave it a 10 out of 10. I think I wasn't
10 out of 10.
I wasn't too critical on it. If I was to rescore it, I'd say.
I think you're about 9 too high.
I wasn't going to go that far.
Right. Jack,
Roger, just there. Shit's just like, he puts his hand over on his head. Oh God, Matt, why?
No, but Kid Icarus Uprising is still one of my favourite games of all time. But looking back, I think I was a bit too excited, so I think I may have been a bit too biased in the score and the review. So if I was to re-review it, or rescore it rather, I'd say about 9.3, 9.4. Because I think the main campaign alone is enough for the game, and then the versus mode is more of a bonus.
Just very quickly, you found the controls okay?
Well, looking back,
that's what I couldn't stand.
Yeah. that's one thing. But I didn't really mind it. I just got used to it, kind of. But I just really liked the story and the dialogue.
Mm.
That's just it's one of the funniest video games, I think, in my opinion. And just really good. Action packed, so on and so forth.
Yeah, the writing's really good.
But yeah, so it's weird to think it's been one whole year since of writing for VG Tribune. because I do want to be like a game journalist in the future, even though that's quite unlikely.
Never give up on your dreams, Matt.
Hopefully, but it's just like
so far.
Yeah.
Hopefully, but VG Dreaming has just given me
Don't sell yourself short.
All right, I'll take those motivating words into account.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Thanks. No, but like just VG Dreaming has just given me so many opportunities. If you're a special shout out, I've already said this on my personal account, but massive thanks to Matthew Williams. He's came on the show a good amount of times before. He's always helped me, he always supported me. So a massive amount of thanks goes out to him. I've just like had a lot of opportunities, of course. I've been able to go to Hyper Japan and EGX Press. I was even able to interview somebody from 13AM Games, Tom, I believe, who worked on Rumbo. So it was great being able to interview him. That's why I told you I interviewed him. I've got his business card here. I really like doing that. That was quite...
You're professional.
That was my first review. I quite liked... I really liked doing that. And I've met some great people as well. Like, of course, it goes without saying, like, you guys as well. Even though that was before the site.
Especially Colin.
Yeah. I never knew, like, I'd be actually able to talk to, like, Roger Space. Like, when I found out that he wrote
that's pretty
site,
cool.
I was like, whoa. This is a bit unreal for me.
I've got a couple of more shout-outs to mention.
Go on.
Yeah, quickly go through. A quick shout-out to Eric Plunk, who's Plunk. Yeah, Eric Plunk on Twitter. Plunk to the future, his name is on there. thanks for the shout-out for the N64 games, wrestling games, as you mentioned. We'd happily take any more people mentioning other games they enjoyed from 64 or any other generation and we want to talk about in the podcast, we gladly will. So just message us, just let us know. I don't know if you saw this week, Matt, the Nintendo Dads. They played on a 1990 World Championship cartridge. There's a video of them playing it on their Nintendo Dads YouTube channel, and it's well worth a look. It's quite fun. So.
Right.
Basically, it's a cartridge which has got Mario, the original Mario. You've got to get 50 coins in as little time as possible. There's a Rad Racer, which was an old racing game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tetris, and you've got to get the best score ever you can within limited time. So it's worth pretty good fun. And one of our biggest fans and best friends of the podcast, Rose of Death, Malik Emery's, he shared me a picture of his Amiibo collection this week. And it's basically a massive corner of all the Amiibos there are.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
They're all packaged up still, and he's got these displays. He does have a few that aren't in packages. There seems to be a custom-built Yoshi there as well, and it's impressive. So,
we love Malik as well. He's a huge supporter of Nintendo Voice, and
he's a legend, like through and through.
Yeah, cheers, Malik. Because as always, we always appreciate it.
Podcast supporter legend.
He really is.
So yeah, thanks very much, dude. And I think that might just about be all my mentions, really.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyone else got any more?
Sam, do you have anything?
Not particularly. Probably give a shout out to WayForward because their Shantae trailer's just got me gripped for the half genie hero game.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I want it so bad.
It looks really good. Yeah. Mm.
Cool.
Can't wait to get it. Well, it comes out near my birthday, so that's quite good.
won't be buying it for you, they'll be buying it for me.
Hold on, let me just look it up. I think it's like... Hold on.
Sorry, Matt.
Dear, oh, dear.
That's all right.
Oh, I did mention Game Over from Portsmouth.
Oh, yeah. They're on Mario Kart 64 tournament.
Yeah. So on the 9th of July, there is a Mario Kart 64 tournament in there. You've got a pre-book tickets on their website, which if you look for Game Over... CAF ports, I think it should come up on Facebook, search for that, or on Google. It's literally about, I think it's like £10 to £20 for 2-3 hours.
Oh, okay.
It's worth doing for a few games, and they got so many consoles in there, it's unbelievable.
It's worth checking out. Seriously, they got loads of different consoles from different eras, so it's worth checking out.
At the moment, I'm likely to be there on the 9th, but subject to change, because that is sort of my birthday weekend. So
oh, okay.
I have to let everyone know. So I'm going to that on the Saturday, and on Sunday, there's a tattoo festival near us, which a few of our friends are running a gaming event at, so I might go and pop along to that and
actually
get that out. That's actually
I just remembered, I think Street Pass London is due to have an event in July. Let me just see here, upcoming events. Let's see, Midlands.
This I think I keep getting mixed up with the Monster Hunter pages as well. I think
Monster Hunter Offline and Monster Hunter Essex.
Monster Hunter Offline is Monster Hunter Palkios as well. And I was just saying,
Palkios, Palicos,
whatever it's called. I don't know. It's late.
If they keep calling Palkios,
whatever, same thing, different name.
Street Pass London will be having its summer meetup at St. Dunstan in the East Church Garden on the 10th of July, which last time took me an eternity to find. It is so hard to find. Please don't get lost like I did last year.
Use Google Maps. Unlike Matt.
Yes, unlike me.
Or Facebook, unlike Matt.
I don't like Facebook.
So I'm with you. I don't like Facebook either. It's terrible.
I might pop along to that one. I'll have to see. Cool.
Yeah.
Right, so I guess we should close it up there.
Yeah, Matt.
Pardon? Sorry.
Oh, good lord, Matt.
Sorry, I was just reading this quickly. Sorry.
Come on, right, pay attention. Right.
Okay, so it's time to
do the podcast here.
Colin,
come on.
So, what is our outro music?
Okay, so outro. I figured we'll go thank Sonic just to continue the theme of this rather Sonic episode.
like for one being the news.
Exactly. What the intro? So Sonic 3. First level, Angel Island.
Oh, good man.
Angel Island. It's not done with good intentions. I'm just trying to show you how inferior it is compared to the first game.
Oh my god! He's done it again.
Sorry.
Okay, so you can find us. You can find the podcast. Our Facebook is N Podcast System, isn't it, Jack?
It is.
That's our Twitter handle as well, N Podcast System. Our email is NintendoPodcastSystem@gmail.com. You can find all of that in the description. You can find myself on at AceGibbo on Twitter and on VGTribune.com. Colin, where can people find you?
You can find me personally. I'm on Twitter. I'm at HeliumBard. And on my Nintendo Network ID, which is Cole1990.
Sam,
as it's spelled, isn't it? That's what you normally
say. How you hear your buzz is how you think it's spelled, yeah.
It's like your catchphrase.
It wasn't originally, but it kind of developed into it.
Alright. Sam, what's... where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at SamSpade_ @SamSpadeUK, as well as @SamSpadeGaming, as well as YouTube, and on Facebook as well.
And Jack, yay, wrapping us up.
You can find me on the Twitter @Gorny7789. I'm also on the Facebook and the YouTube and other places all over the internet.
He's all over the internet.
Yeah, just Google it. It will come up. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a wrap. Colin, thanks again so much for coming.
Oh, no worries. It's been long. It's been a real pleasure being here, guys.
It was great having you on.
You're both welcome to come back.
Cool, yeah.
We love Nintendo Voice. It's really cool. You should
Go listen to
them as well.
Yeah, everybody check out Nintendo Voice. It's another really good Nintendo themed podcast.
Make sure you stay subscribed to this one as well, because they're really good too.
Ah, thank you.
Yay!
Cheers.
So that brings us to the end of episode 27 of Nintendo Podcast System. I hope that you've all enjoyed listening, and happy gaming.
Bye bye.
Ciao for now.
Take care.